Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Jimmy!
Before we get to announcements, we're just coming out of an Ozzy Osbourne song. Do you remember when that plane crashed?
Oh, sure. You mean the Randy Rhoads death? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, very well. Very well.
He was on tour. Did he already come through here? Was he on his way here?
Well, that much I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was early 80s.
Right. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
A lot of things happened.
Yeah, it was almost 40 years ago, right?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Early 80s, right?
Yeah, 82, I think it was.
And Ozzy was in the bus, right? And the plane was swooping down,
they're
like goofing on
him.
The bus.
Yeah,
like,
trying to buzz him.
Yeah, buzzing the bus.
And he clipped something with the wing and over.
Well, just teaches you a lesson. When you're flying a plane, don't screw around.
Exactly right. Yeah,
fly. That's a lesson to all of your tribe. When you're flying a plane, don't fool around.
Don't fool around.
I'm going to write that down for this weekend, Jimmy.
And we're
going
to ask you about Lynyrd Skynyrd later, too, because there's a new movie out on them. But first, let's get any announcements, any news on concerts in Connecticut.
Well, not really. I'm sitting back. I'm waiting. When I last spoke to the governor's office, they were concerned about all the red states spiking, and plus California, which I guess is not considered a red state, you know, meaning Arizona, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and California all going through spikes. He did not want to see that happen here, so he asked me to take a two-week hiatus. We are in our second week now. And talk to him at the beginning of August, and we'll see what happens.
Did you see that map that was going around yesterday, Jimmy? It showed all the states, and green was the best score you can get.
Yeah.
And of all the states, the only green one was Connecticut.
This little P over here,
I saw
that. Was amazing. Like, customers were surrounded.
I was proud of the people of Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're going to build a wall or a dome over it.
let's build a wall around Connecticut.
Yep.
Yes, they called us a haven from COVID-19. I said, oh, my God, that means everybody's going to come here.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
Right. Build a wall.
I saw a New York plate yesterday. I thought, what are the chances this person's going to lock themselves in a room for 2 weeks?
Right.
Zero.
I notice those out-of-state plates now, like more than ever.
There's
more
a lot.
You know what? Maybe the idea of a wall is a good idea.
Thank you.
That's right. Around Connecticut.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we should be proud of ourselves. You're absolutely right. We've done a tremendous job, and I was speaking to some people in the New York State government yesterday, because I run upstate New York for Live Nation also, and they commented how well Connecticut was doing, which was really nice to hear.
Yeah, nobody blow it.
Philly made an announcement, Live Nation, there about drive-in concerts.
Yes. Live Nation and the Phillies and maybe even the Eagles are going to get, not the group the Eagles, but the Philadelphia Eagles, who win less games than the band the Eagles probably, are going to put a series of concerts on in the big giant parking lot. And I don't know how many people have been to Philadelphia, but the stadiums share parking lots. The baseball stadium and the football stadium share parking lots. So the capacity of that parking lot is enormous. So I think they're doing 800 or 900 cars. We don't have any type of capacity like that in Connecticut to do. So I've looked into it. You've got to figure one car per three spaces, because people tend to get out of their cars. And we have to play it. We don't want them to get out of their cars, but they will likely get out of their cars. So we have to play it like people will get out of their cars, and we just don't have a parking lot big enough. We looked at the Xfinity, and it was about 450 capacity and cars, and that wasn't big enough to really put together cost-wise.
Bummer.
Yeah, you figure folks lawn chairs by the car, like a driving movie.
Yeah, look, truthfully, they seem to be working okay. My efforts are still to get real concerts with no cars. And so, you know, I haven't given up on that idea.
We're still in the window?
We're in the window for September and early October, but not for August anymore.
Okay. And what's the cutoff time, you would think?
August 15th.
You need to know something by then.
Yeah, yeah. So we still have 3 weeks, which gives us more than enough time. And I've mentioned that to the governor's office. They're well aware of it, and they've noted it, and they hope to tell me before that.
You know, the governor's been on the show several times, and each time we ask him about concerts, he mentions Lynyrd Skynyrd.
He does.
I feel like if you book Leonard Skinner, you might have a good chance of
yeah, really
getting things done.
Well, I'm working on booking Leonard Skinner for next summer, but I haven't spoken to them about this summer because I haven't spoken to anybody about this summer. And as I expressed to the governor's office, I don't want to be the guy who tells the bands, yeah, let's do it, and then the governor says, don't do it. I'd rather the governor first say, do it, and then I could go tell the bands, the governor's given me the okay to do it. And I think that's the – I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
And it sounds cooler, too. The governor said we could do it.
Yeah, when the governor says, I approve your plan, I'm comfortable with the way that Connecticut's behaving regarding COVID and protecting themselves, wearing masks and social distancing and everything like that, that's the time that I'll start speaking to the artists. But I truthfully have not spoken to one artist yet.
Did you see this Leonard Skinner movie that just came out?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's on, I think you can get it just about anywhere, Amazon Prime or whatever. What do you remember from the Leonard Skinner plane crash?
Well, what I do remember from Leonard Skinner plane crash was the day the plane crashed, the day I put tickets on sale for the Leonard Skinner show at the New Haven Coliseum.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Bad timing.
Yeah, so...
Well, you know.
And back then, and that was in the 80s also, right? I think that was... Well, the 70s. It was in the 70s. Yeah, 77. So at that point, I wasn't really as wily as I am now, and a lot of people, I understand, kept their tickets and didn't get their money back. So the New Haven Coliseum kept the money. If I was really as smart as I am now, I would have said, hey, give me the money.
Right.
But the Coliseum kept the money.
People kept the tickets for, like, a
memorabilia, nostalgia. Yeah. It was, you see people that posted on Facebook still a full ticket from that show. And I go, oh, my gosh, where's that money? I never thought about that.
Ashley looked up the date.
Yeah, October 20th, 1977.
Wow.
And that was, we put the show on sale that very day.
Whoops.
I'm a little embarrassed that 77, how old was I? Like 13. I didn't know who Leonard Skinner was yet. When I heard the news that Leonard Skinner had a plane crash, I thought, well, who's this Leonard Skinner guy?
Who's this person? Yeah.
One
yeah,
person.
It was later that I found them, and boy, I still love them. Did you have them here before the crash, and what was it like working with them and Ronnie?
Yes, I had them a number of times before the crash. We had them at the Palace of Waterbury. They opened up some shows for us, they were really Southern boys, let's put it that way. And I'm a Northern boy. And
so what are you saying, Jimmy? Jack Daniels and the Rider?
There's a culture shock here.
Yeah, it was really something. You know, it was very different when we had the English bands. We had curry backstage. I went, oh, gosh. But I developed a taste for curry because I ate backstage. And when we had the Southern bands, that Southern culture was backstage with lots of girls wearing, very high cutoff shorts. And a lot of Jack Daniels backstage and
barbecue
and people talking with Southern accents
livestock, yes.
Half time I couldn't understand what they were saying half the time because it was so Southern. Their
all the draw, yeah, right.
And then I had my Northeast boys, which Jay Giles band, Billy Joel, and I totally connected with those guys, James Taylor. And I got those people. I sit around and hang with those guys.
Yeah, think about that. It's like when you're backstage, you're almost like in that band's country.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're an ambassador.
Yeah.
Because they're moving with a little city, so it's like, oh, I feel like I'm in England right now.
Exactly.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine seeing Leonard Skinner on their way up at the Palace in Waterbury?
In their heyday, yeah.
It was quite amazing because, everybody who goes to live concerts has this this moment of exclamation when they see something amazing on stage, and I've seen it with personally with Jethro Tull when I first saw Ian Anderson jumping across, running across stage on one leg, hopping basically on one leg with hair down to his butt, playing a flute, and I go, whoa, what's that? I've never seen anything like that before. or the first time I saw the Allman Brothers Band and the power of that music coming off the stage. I felt that way about Leonard Skinner also.
Yeah.
The power of that music coming off the stage literally was what you could see it you not only felt it, but you could actually see the power.
So it sounds like you had them at the Palace. Well, you had them opening for people, then you had them at the Palace, and then you were putting the tickets on sale for New Haven Coliseum. So this was the biggest place. Like, they were on, I don't want to say on fire. They were very, very hot,
yeah,
to where now they have a headlining show at the New Haven Coliseum.
Yeah, and then their career crashed.
Right. That's
all at once, and the luck of, and I hate to use the word luck, but having the brother of the lead singer available to fill in, who sounds right, just like the lead singer who was killed, was right, a remarkable thing in the fact that they were easily able to recreate that sound.
Yeah.
It took them about 10
years.
Rare,
right?
You could do,
yeah,
something like that.
It took them about 10 years to get that. Because there was Rossington Collins, the two guitar players.
Yeah.
And they had a girl lead singer. And then it took about 10 years to get Johnny, yes, in the band.
Yes.
Yeah, Johnny, I believe, was just a solo act at the time.
Right.
I don't think he had a band. And he sure sounded the same.
All right, we got some calls coming in for Jimmy. I also want to play this game. I love it. Call in your favorite concert, and let's see what Jimmy remembers.
This is a very dangerous game.
For you.
But you'll remember different things, like what you paid them and the antics backstage.
Right.
And you'll have
maybe
that.
Maybe.
The barnyard animal.
Maybe.
Whatever. Yeah.
Maybe.
I've done 10,000 concerts. I can't remember that much anymore.
Okay, so no news from Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God. He said that the cutoff for concerts outside this summer, this season in Connecticut, it'll be somewhere around August 15th. So we're still in the window.
Fingers crossed.
Some September, October shows.
Right.
That's the news. And then now we're going to play a game. And Jimmy doesn't like this game. I don't think he likes it right now.
No, I don't.
You call in your favorite concert, and Jimmy will tell you what he remembers from it. 1-877-764-2535. Derek?
Hi, good morning. I have a question about merchandise for 2020 tours.
You're not playing the game?
Good.
I don't know about the question.
I'll answer any question you have outside of this.
Right.
For 30 minutes, I'll give
what
you an answer.
What do they do with the 2020 tour merchandise?
That's
do
a good question. All these T-shirts and things that were printed up for 2020, what do we do with those?
You know, that's a really good question. Yeah, and Live Nation owns a merchandising company. And I know that Live Nation started a fund for a crew called Crew Nation that we're giving $10 million to members of crews of bands that we were going to promote that are now unable to go on the road. I don't have the answer to that, Derek, but I will tell you I am going to email our president and suggest that we donate, and they donate, whatever merchandise. I think it would sell well. I think it would sell well right now. The shows that never happened.
Right.
Right. That's wow. It's a collector's item, really.
The other thing I would do is probably, if they tour next year, sell it also. People would sort of get a kick out of it.
Like the Olympics, 2021, but they're still calling it 2020.
Or give them a twofer.
Just why change the logo?
A free 2020 shirt with a 21.
But just put across a zero and put a one next to
it. There you go.
Right. See? Get the crayons out.
Like a math equation.
Right.
Steve Madison. Steve in Madison.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
Morning. I had a question. Summer of 79, New Haven Coliseum, Michael Schenker, Johnny Van Zant Band, and Molly Hatchet.
Wow.
And the question is, do I remember it?
Yeah, anything about
yeah,
it
at the end
you
no.
remember. Right.
Well, I do remember Rossington Collins, and if that's the first tour since the Skynyrd plane crash, which I assume it probably was, I sat down with Dale, who is the female, who's Gary Rossington's wife, and she was in the band. And we talked a lot about the plane crash. And she said the ultimate irony was the album cover of that time period, which was 77, which showed a plane on fire, if I remember correctly.
No, it was the band. The album's called Street Survivors, and the band is all standing together.
And in fire.
And there's flames everywhere. But Steve Gaines and Ronnie Van Zant, two of the members that died, were engulfed in flames.
Right. Huh. And she said that she now believes that in channeling. and she started to try to channel me and claim that I'm a drug addict and that I will be a drug addict my entire life.
Wow.
And I looked at her, I said, well, that's not going to be good news. I just had a baby. That's just not really nice. She says, I'm telling you, I believe this stuff now.
Yeah, I'm also going to pay you.
We are channels now.
And then how did that work out? She was wrong. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could speak still. You know.
Exactly, right? You're functional. You're answering questions.
You show up for work.
You're answering questions.
Yeah.
Right.
Back then, I was pretty bad, but not anymore.
You know what that is? She knows you're a concert promoter. She knows you're backstage all the time. She knows you're around rock stars. It was an easy, like, yeah, you're a drug addict.
An
yeah.
easy guess.
Right, you party too much.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it wasn't channel at all.
And my wife was sitting next to me.
Did she? Did she agree?
Nice. Like you're going to be very rich.
Right. You have nice eyes. Whatever. Right. Something like that.
Well, that's a good memory. Damn.
Feel good.
You know, I got to tell you, Jimmy. You brought Michael Schenker to the state a lot. I don't know. I couldn't name one song from him.
One of the great guitarists that never got popular. And there were other artists, a fellow by the name of Emmett Rhodes, who just died a couple of days ago, who's a great piano player, multi-instrumentalist, actually. Another great artist that never got popular. There is a list of artists that everybody thought was going to be really big that never got big. And I certainly think that Michael Schenker's in that list.
Wasn't he also like brother of like Rudy Schenker from the Scorpions?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep. At the Michael Schenker Group, MSG.
You got it.
Yep.
Joe.
He never got big enough to play MSG.
Damn. Ironic.
MSG at MSG.
Right.
Joe in Milford.
Yeah, how you doing? I want to ask him about Bachman Turner Overdrive at the Coliseum.
What year?
Yeah, it was in the 70s. I'm not sure. The
He's narrowing it down to some
10
time.
10 years. Then. You got 10
Very
years.
Good. That's right. Right. Right.
I was around. I don't know.
He narrowed it down.
There you go. See? Little bullseye mark.
I just remember it was one of the loudest concerts I've ever been at.
Oh, okay. Really?
Well, it narrows it down.
All right.
Well,
Joe,
I
listen
actually
to the
do
radio.
I
don't
remember that
answers.
Show. I can't tell you exactly when it was, but I was a big Guess Who fan. And I thought Burton Cummings, and I still do, is one of the best lead singers I've ever heard. Randy was this big, heavy-set guy with a gruff voice, and I thought that he was a little unapproachable, so I didn't really approach him. But Burton Cummings I sat down with a lot, and I talked about how great it would be if the Guess Who got back together. They didn't take my advice, but I thought it would be great.
I could say, you know.
You don't think about them a lot.
I guess who?
Turner Overdrive.
Oh, BTO, yeah.
But when you listen to like their best of album, wow, they had a lot.
Yeah.
They
Let It Roll Down the Highway. That's a great song.
Yeah. Taking Care of Business.
Yep.
It's still around today in commercials. All right. We're playing this game with Jimmy. So, Jimmy, it's going good so far, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're 2 for 2. Time to. Is it 9 o'clock yet?
No. Not yet.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation concert god on the show. And he had a little bit of news in the beginning, and all of this, as always, all of Jimmy is always up on WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. We're playing a fun game. You call in your favorite concert, and we see if Jimmy can remember it.
What he remembers.
Or what he remembers from working with the artist.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
It's fun.
Either or.
Pat and Derby.
Hi, yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Back in 1978, we had a blizzard that brought the state to its knees, and I went to the concert with Blue Oyster Cult and Rush as a double bill, and I was always wondering, I had a hard enough time getting to the Coliseum, what it must have been like for them to get all their equipment and all the stuff and make that happen.
So this is just a good concerts and blizzards back when you used to do shows in the winter.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
That show, I have a list in front of me, was January 14th, 1978, so you have a very good memory.
Nice.
Wow. Most people can't get their years right, so I'm very impressed.
I'm working on it.
I think at those times, the acts got paid so little money that we did everything we could to put a show on, and we didn't want to postpone shows. And you're right, Rush was the opening act. Blue Oyster Cult was the headliner, and Rush was the opening act.
Wow.
Which was pretty impressive. And there's another good example of a band that took the stage, three pieces, and sounded like an orchestra to me.
I have a
feeling. Was big. You know, it was big.
No disrespect to Blue Oyster Cult, but I look at this and I think Rush had to have blown them off the stage.
Well, but I'll tell you something. We in Connecticut always have loved Blue Oyster Cult, and in fact, some members lived in Connecticut. Buck Dormer lived in Connecticut and lived in Stamford, and Michael Bolton, Buck, and myself used to hang together. So all three of us lived in Stamford. So there was always a special connection, and same with Long Island, by the way. The Blue Oyster Cult was always big in Long Island.
Yeah,
you had a good history, even though musically you could get blown off the stage. You never got blown off the stage because
right.
people in their heart loved you.
Yeah,
yeah. Joe Bouchard, I love him. He lives in Connecticut, and we've had him at events. But man, that Rush.
Yeah, they're like a power trio.
Yeah, bananas. Yep. Bananas.
Oh yeah, it was a power trio that, as I said, sounded like a giant orchestra. They were so strong.
Have you ever had a band get stuck on the way here in the snow and couldn't make it on?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, I had Steven Tyler once get stuck. He was out on the island, well, Long Island. Down here we call it the island, but
right.
Long Island. And we had the show up at the Springfield Civic Center, and he took about 5 hours to get there, and by the time he got up there, he was so screwed up that we could barely get him onto the stage.
Ah, wow.
And that was the night that even more snow came in, and we had to have 500 or so people sleep in the Springfield Civic Center overnight.
Oh, wow.
There were no cell phones back then. So we had to have people, we got a bunch of dimes from the box office, and people called their homes to say they were sleeping over. We had a line of hundreds of people on the payphone. Just when we gave each person a dime to call.
That's amazing.
Right. Staying over.
It's a lot of breakfast also.
That's really
everybody
cool.
gets a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Well, we did give them popcorn. So, you know, that's what we had there. We had popcorn and soda. We just gave everybody free popcorn and soda.
Like everybody's 8 years
that?
Old, yeah.
That's great. That's why you're still around.
Well, yeah, if you don't treat the fans right, and, you know, I'm open, you know, I'll make a mistake here and there. But if you don't treat the fans right, you don't have a business. Plus, I'll get my car keyed all the time. I don't want that.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God. On the show now, we're playing a fun game. You call in your favorite concert, and we see if Jimmy remembers anything of it.
It's called Hear Jimmy Sweat.
10,000 concerts.
Right.
Does he remember the one you're bringing up?
Jimmy who?
Jimmy who?
Russ from Newtown, 2002 Rush Return.
Honestly, a Rush return.
Yeah,
it makes it sound like they were off the road for a while, huh?
Right.
I don't remember them really going off the road very much.
All I have to say was,
what do you know about that one?
What's that, Russ?
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
About the Rush show, 2002 at the Meadows.
At the Meadows. And why do?
Yeah,
why
that was their
saying?
First show back after 5 years because Neil Peart's wife had died and his daughter.
Right.
Ah, now I see it. June 28th, 2002. You're absolutely right. By the way, it was called the Comcast Theater back then.
Wow.
Okay. The ticket still said At the Meadows on it, though. You know, I still got the
ticket. That's because it probably was the first year it was called Comcast, so we wanted people to know that where to go so they wouldn't get confused.
That was one hell of a show, man. And right.
$81
are, but that was just.
Thank
that
you,
was a big ticket. So you're right. It must have been the return. We charged $81. That was a lot back then.
Wow.
2002.
Exorbitant.
Yeah. It was. It was high. If I look at them, I have the ticket prices at that time period. They were high.
Mark in the oil truck is keeping a streak alive. He's called every single time you've been on the air. He's calling in the 1980 Black and Blue Tour.
Black and Blue Tour. I remember that. That I remember really well because it was nice because the bands got along really nicely. And sometimes you get where, you know, like David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, where you have to literally build a wall between them in order to make the show come off. But these guys got along really nicely, number one. And number two, the tour sold great. And thirdly, as a promoter, the name of the tour, you couldn't come up with a better name than Black and Blue.
Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult.
Yep.
It was just brilliant how they did it. And it was, we had them in New Haven Coliseum September 19th in 1980, and then we brought it up to Springfield the next, 2 days later, September 21st. And what I remember most is, at the Coliseum in particular, we all got together and sat around. And I'm not really sure if Ozzy was still the lead singer. For some reason, I think maybe Ronnie was the lead singer by that point. But
it's even
really
cooler.
Sure.
19. Can you look that up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if Ozzy was still the lead singer.
Right.
That is a guy we miss, Ronnie James
Dio.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody I know that's met Ronnie James Dio has said he was just a wonderful, nicest person in the world.
I met him.
Absolutely, and so was his wife. They were the two nicest people. And I think it was at the Coliseum, like in 1990, he didn't sell really well. And I was very, very friendly with his wife, Wendy. And I wanted to go to the artist. Sometimes when a promoter loses money, you go to the artist and say, hey, can you give me some money back? I'm not doing too well. So instead of paying you 50 grand, can I pay you 40 grand tonight? And cut my losses 10 grand.
Yeah.
And so Ronnie's bus pulls in backstage. And I go to the door and I wait for Wendy, who is this really beautiful blonde girl, comes out and I go, Wendy, can you, you know, I really would love to get some money back. I'm losing money tonight. And she looks over to the left, and my car was parked backstage. And I had just gotten a nice brand new convertible Jaguar. And my license plate was Coplick. So she looks and goes, is that your car? And I go, yeah, I just got it. She goes, you don't need any money back.
You should have bought the Volkswagen.
That's great.
That was the end of that conversation.
That was kind of a bad move, yeah.
See, up until this point, it was a fun game, right?
Right. Damn it!
No, you know what I love about this game? We get these stories that I would never even ask you about.
Yeah, to think to ask, yeah.
Maybe we'll play next week again if Jimmy lets us.
Take some ginseng, Jimmy.
Jimmy, thanks for coming on, brother. Talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great week.
You, Jimmy. Thank you.